Welcome to the Israel Answers series, connecting Israel, the Bible, and you. Join Susan Michael as she explores timely issues and current events from a scriptural perspective to equip the Christian world with a balanced and biblical response. Be sure to subscribe for future episodes, which will ignite your faith and bring the Bible to life in your everyday world. Now, let's join Susan with your Israel Answers.
Well, we are here at the 2025 National Religious Broadcasters Convention, and there are many lovers of Israel here in the gathering, and there are also a good number of Israeli friends that have come over in order to interact and collaborate with the Christians that are here. So today I have with me the Consul General from Houston, Consul General Livia Link Raviv.
That's right.
So, Consul General, it's very nice to have you with us. And I would love it if you could just tell our audience a little bit about your background and how, what brought you, path of life, to where you are today.
Yes, of course. And thank you so much for having me here. It's a festival. It's such, it is. And you can feel the joy and the love, you know, when you're walking the conference. So it's great to be here. I'm a career diplomat. I've been a diplomat for the past 23 years. So the joke is I started at 12. But I've been posted before to different countries. My first post way back was to Caracas, Venezuela. That's why the Latin and Hispanic community is very close to my heart. I speak Spanish, which I find very useful in Houston and in the Southwest in general. My last post was in Rome, Italy. So we can pick up, we can talk about the Christian connection, you know, with the Vatican and everything. In Italy, also a great post. And this is my first time being post in the U.S. So it has been an amazing learning experience for me, just wrapping my head around how American politics works. I'm in love with the Southwest. I'm in love with Texas, that has been very hospitable and accepted me and my family with open arms. So I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, wonderful. And you've been in Houston 3.5 years
three
now.
3.5 years.
And well, once you get, you should be acclimated now to Texas. You do have to get to know other parts of the country because it's quite different. Texas has its own culture, but it's a fun one.
Correct.
And great people here. So did you grow up speaking Spanish, or you learned it as part of your diplomatic training?
No, you know, Israel is a country of immigrants, of course, of Jewish immigrants. I was born in Romania. And when I was a baby, we immigrated, what we call made Aliyah, that's the term we use for it, to Israel. And so Aliyah is actually to ascend, to go up somewhere. And this is because we understand the spiritual value, the spiritual experience in Israel will always be higher than anywhere else in the world. So we ascended to Israel, and ever since, you know, since I was a baby, I grew up in Israel and decided I wanted to give back to the country, that to my homeland. And the way I found to doing that is joining the diplomatic corps and becoming a diplomat, representing and advocating for our country around the world.
So you grew up speaking Romanian and Hebrew.
Correct.
And your English is very good. Okay. How did you learn such good English?
The truth is from TV, too much TV, I want to say. No, but I've been sent, you know, to summer schools in English because my parents always realized that it's an important tool. And language is everything, right?
Yes.
And when I say language, I don't mean only the technical tool, but the cultural set of terms that we use. And so Latin America is a different language, and it's way beyond Spanish. And, you know, Europe is a different language, and it's beyond the languages that people use. Mm-hmm. And American is a language. So I'm learning I'm learning Texan, which is an experience. And I'm very proud to represent my country here.
Well, so tell us about your time in Rome. You said that you worked with the Catholic Church there in Rome, in the Vatican?
Well, our embassy, all embassies in Rome are actually divided in two. By law, you are required, every country is required to have a different embassy to Italy, to the country, and a different, a separate embassy, you know, to the Vatican, which is considered, you know, a country in itself. And so that's, and I worked in the, in our embassy to Italy. So I worked vis-a-vis the Italian government for 4 years. Mm-hmm. Two of my kids were born there. Yes, it's a great country.
And you have three children, so the third one was born where?
In Israel. So my firstborn was the only one that was born in Israel. Ariel is his name. And we arrived with him to Rome when he was 6 months old. And his younger brother and sister were born in Italy, in Rome.
Well, tell us, now you were here in Houston during the October 7 attack.
Correct.
What was that like for you? To see your country and your people going through that?
You know, it's very hard trying to think back at that day. You know, around 11 p.m. towards midnight, we started to get all the news about what's happening in Israel. And that, only the feeling that you're away from the country and you can't fully understand what's going on. It was bits and pieces. The picture was not clear for a couple of hours. And then the size of the tragedy was revealed and we understood what has happened to us. And I can easily say our lives turned upside down overnight. Overnight. We immediately turned into emergency mode in the consulate. So myself and all the staff, we are, you know, fairly small consulate, but it was clear that everybody enters an emergency mode 24/7. And we went, we are on emergency mode until now.
Still.
But at least, I can say, at least for the first 6 to 8 months, we were literally 24/7. First weeks, I got very little sleep, if at all. The anguish, the pain, and keep being worried about my loved ones in Israel, seeing the demonstrations, constant demonstrations in front of our consulate of ignorant people calling themselves pro-Palestinians.
In Houston, yeah.
Even in Houston, yes. All over the country and all over the world, you know, of ignorant people that, you know, shout from the river to the sea without even knowing which river is it, what's it, and what's the significance of what they say. I went through an alarming rise of anti-Semitism with the Jewish community, with the local Jewish communities. And this is something maybe people need to understand. Whatever happened to Israel on October 7th didn't only happen to us. It happened just as much to our Jewish brothers and sisters around the world and to our Christian brothers and sisters around the world, to the Christian Zionists that we love so much. This is personal. This is personal for Israelis, this is personal for Jews, and this is personal for the Christian lovers of Israel. Mm-hmm. And so this is what I think it was such a huge trauma, and still is, you know. We can't even talk about a post-trauma because we're living it. We can think about the hard week we had last week, you know, with on one hand the hostages, some of the hostages being released, and on the other hand the returning bodies of our loved ones.
Yes.
The Bivas family.
Yes.
The Bivas babies that have become a symbol.
Yes.
You know, of hope and love and purity. How can anybody even think of hurting a pure infant?
Well, I tell everyone that the Jewish community worldwide is traumatized because not only what happened in Israel on October 7th, but then the wave of anti-Semitism around the world affected the entire Jewish community worldwide. And it had to have been frightening for you in Houston with three small children, to see this hatred rising in the streets. And, you know, I was in Washington, D.C. in May of last year, and there was a protest going on around the clock outside the embassy, and they were blowing these loud horns and just harassing people walking into the embassy or coming out with this loud siren, like a siren, and they held the siren up to the megaphone so that it was very, very loud.
I was actually there when they did that.
Yes,
they did
there.
It for months and months.
I took a recording of it. And I said, these poor workers here at the embassy that have to come and go with this. And then the security personnel had to wear masks over their faces because the protesters are filming their faces and would put it out around the world. This person is with Israeli security. He's Mossad or whatever. And they're branded for life then. And so it had to have been personally frightening for your family in Houston. Can you speak to that?
Well, you know, it's more than my personal family. Of course, you know, every Israeli diplomat, as a thumb rule, unfortunately, is a target for terrorism around the world. And we have a very sad and long list of Israeli diplomats that have been killed, you know, in their line of duty during the years since the establishment of Israel. So my family too, you know, we have these weird ceremonies we are required to do, like checking under our car for bombs, like not going anywhere without my security detail. And my kids get to experience it too. And so of course it's uncomfortable, but honestly, my heart went out to the Jewish community, mm-hmm. because they are not, I'm used to it. They're not used to it. And they were the ones that came to me and all of a sudden said, I'm rethinking whether I should send my kid to the Jewish day school. I was amazed. And young university students came to me and said, you know what, Consul General, we don't feel comfortable practicing our Judaism on campus. Mm-hmm. I was amazed, you know. Mm-hmm. It was Hanukkah, you know, right in December, and people didn't feel comfortable lighting the menorah. You know, mm-hmm. custom is you light the menorah and display it in the window for everybody to enjoy the light. We're spreading the light.
Yes.
That's what the holiday is about. But they didn't feel comfortable because that would tag their home as a Jewish home and they might be targeted. So these are the real stories of American Jews that did not feel comfortable, you know, living their own life, mm-hmm. and feared for their lives and for their children's life. And that's very disturbing.
Yes, it is. I'm trusting that with this new administration, which is going to be, I think, harder on the anti-Semitic groups and are being harder on the universities and the campuses, that they must, you know, clamp down on that. I'm hoping that we've maybe seen the worst, but I tell all of our Christian audiences, we have a lot of work to do, and don't think that we can just sit back and allow the government to make the change, because we need to be making the change out in the streets, through our churches, in our communities, on the campuses, in our areas. And we have the opportunity to turn it around, but we have to do the work turn it around.
I agree, and honestly, I don't think it's a matter of one administration or another. I think everybody should be equally appalled, because hatred is hatred. You know what? Anti-Semitism doesn't cut it anymore. It's plain Jew hatred.
It's Jew hatred.
And so, you know, today it's us. Tomorrow it will be someone else.
Yeah, it'll be us.
just, I didn't want to say that. Just as easily. So it's all of our fight.
Yes.
You know, it's the fight of all of us.
So tell me, now, you're in the United States 3.5 years. How does your time here in the United States differ from, say, from Rome or Venezuela or your previous post? What do you like about it, or what do you see as hopeful? How does it differ for you?
Yeah, so the basic task is always the same, and the task is strengthening and deepening the bilateral relations between Israel and the territory we cover. In my case, it's the southwest of the United States. I'm very fortunate to cover five states, Texas being the largest, but Oklahoma, Arkansas, Louisiana, and New Mexico.
Okay.
So it's quite a turf.
It's quite a turf.
And I have to say, in each and every one of those states, we have such good friends. It warms my heart, you know, to reach out. Of course, the different Jewish communities, but the different Christian communities, and to know we're not alone. And a part of my duty, I make it a point to portray this back home to Israel, and to let Israelis know we are not alone. And this has been so important for the past year and a half, for folks in Israel to realize we are, you know, we have each other's back. You know, we have solidarity from our American Christian brothers and sisters, and that was very important.
Yes. Well, I always say that, you know, the majority of Americans, I'll say it this way, the majority of Christians in America support Israel and are very supportive of Israel. We just don't always have a government that reflects the will of the people. And we've, you know, had administrations where it was a very difficult moment in the relationship. And I've always said, we, even though we have the moral responsibility to speak up, because we represent the real America. Just because an elected government official may say this or that doesn't really matter. We're speaking up for millions of Americans. And it's that we created this network called American Christian Leaders for Israel, because to speak on behalf of 50, 60, 70 million Americans, no one organization can do it alone. But when we unite a lot of major Christian organizations together and we speak with a unified voice, we really are representing that heartland of America. And there are many people in the Southwest and across our country that do support Israel. They don't always understand all the issues or can even articulate, you know, a clear defense of Israel, but in their heart, they know that they share the values of a democratic country like Israel, and they also know that there's a special place for Israel in the Bible. That may be all they understand of the Bible, but because of that, they have a soft spot in their heart.
And I would say, I agree, and I would say more than that. I think we are all together stakeholders, you know, in this amazing project that is called Israel. Mm-hmm. Israel is for Israelis, of course, but it's for everyone. It's the you know, among the nations, we took upon ourselves to be leaders, to be the light, and to serve as a spiritual center. And so I really do believe Israel has a special place. The Bible, of course, tells us so, and we should maintain it.
Yes, well, and we encourage everybody to go to Israel because of that, because it is a very, very special place that changes lives. So for Israel's 75th anniversary, which was in 2023, we actually published a book called Every Generation's Story, and it was to tell the story of people from every generation alive today that when they went to Israel and had that life-changing experience, and they came back with a passion that lasted their lifetime. In fact, some of them made careers out of it, like myself. I was 19 years old when I first went to Israel. It so changed my life. It became my lifelong trajectory. And but we published it on Israel's 75th anniversary to celebrate 75 years of Christian engagement with Israel, of Christians being blessed because Israel exists, because they are maintaining the biblical sites they have freedom of access to all the sites, whether it's for Jewish sites or Christian sites. And we're able to, we benefit from that. And so that book was a celebration of that for 75 years. So I will give you a copy before you leave here today. But yeah, we have, Israel is just too special for us not to stand up on your behalf and to defend your country and to support it and bless it. And that's what the calling of the International Christian Embassy Jerusalem is.
And it's a good opportunity to thank you for everything you have done personally, but also the organization, mm-hmm. such an important one, you know, continuing and being the bridge and reinforcing the special bond between our countries, between our communities, between our religions, our faiths, is very important. So really, thank you for everything that you've done.
You're welcome. I could not. I was driven to do it. But tell me, when you look at the world today from your vantage point as the Consul General for the Southwest, I think that 50 years from now, we're going to look back, and October the 7th, 2023 was a turning point. I don't think Israel will ever be the same, and I don't think the Middle East will ever be the same. It could be the world will not be the same. But what is your perspective? How do you agree with that? And how do you see that changes that day is bringing about in Israel, bad or good?
Yeah, so, you know, I don't have a crystal ball. and we leave that for the prophets.
Yeah.
You know, they had their job. But honestly, I agree with what you said, looking on October 7th. I can easily say Israel will not be the same, will never, ever be the same. We will not, Israelis, the people, the country, will never be the same. It's a huge trauma we are still reliving. And I think our possibility to even start thinking about the healing process, two things have to happen. One thing is we have to demolish Hamas. We have to destroy terrorism,
yes.
and be able to provide a safe environment for our citizens. Without that, that's the basic, right?
Right.
And the other thing is, and they go hand in hand, there's no number one and number two, they go hand in hand. Every single hostage has to come back home, you know?
Yes.
The living ones, amen, as today, you know, today, as soon as possible. And those that are not among the living, at least bring them to proper burial. You know,
right.
In Judaism, it's very important to bring your loved one and to bury him in the proper way. So these two things have to happen, and we're working very hard to make them happen, to start the healing process of Israel and of Israeli society. It will take time. And I do agree, it was a wake-up call, a bit of a wake-up call for all of us. You know, we had big dreams, and I think now the world understands better who are we up against and who are we dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
And these people are not honest partners.
No, I think October the 7th exposed the true evil of the Hamas jihadist ideology. It was exposed for everyone.
I agree, and I also think it exposed the double standard and hypocrisy
yes.
the international community has towards
yes.
Israel. You know, if you scratch the surface just a bit, it's very evident. It's very evident, you know. One rule applies to one side, but then Israel is always being judged to the highest standard and under a magnifying glass. And apparently what is allowed for others is never allowed to Israel. So I think we're trying to change a little bit the perception and to make people understand that our first and foremost obligation is to protect our people.
That's right.
And we will ask no one. We don't need permission. We will ask no one. This is our sacred duty, and this is what we're doing.
Yeah, that's the reason Israel exists. The reason you have the IDF is to protect your people. And you're absolutely right. You know, we all hate seeing evil or disease. Like, we hate getting a bad diagnosis from the you know, that this disease has been discovered. But that's the first step in eradicating the disease. It has to be exposed. And that's what happened. And so my prayer and our hope is that this will pave the way now to get rid of this evil on the southern border and to get the world to wake up to the evil of the jihadist movements in all the countries, wherever it's found, that it needs to be outlawed. And maybe this was a necessary first step for that to happen, but I know it was a very, very painful and traumatic experience. I'm noticing your dove there, your pen. Is there a story behind that pen?
You know, I hold both. You see the dove on one hand, yes, and the symbol for the hostages on the other. And I think ever since October 7th, even more so, like always, but in the past year and a half, even more so, we have to hold together two basic truths that seem to be, you know, contradictive, but they're really not. It's just life. On the one hand, the excruciating pain, you know, we mourn, we're living through the trauma, but on the other hand, the resilience, the hope, the strength that we can, that we will win, and we will rebuild again. And so they live together. It's sometimes hard to hold the two, yeah, at once, but our hearts are big enough, you know, to do both. And this is what we do. Last week was indicative of that. Hostages coming back on one hand, and if you saw, you know, the footage, how can you not cry of joy when you see those families reuniting,
yes,
with their loved ones after 505 days in captivity? That is amazing. And on the other hand, we cry, you know, with sadness when we see the bodies of our loved ones brought back.
Yeah.
And so both coexist, and hopefully we'll move towards the resilience part and the strength part, and we'll start,
yes,
the healing process.
That's right. Well, know that you have millions of Christians around the world, and especially in the United States, praying for you, praying for your country and your people, and for healing, for peace, for security, and that all of this will come to an end. And we pray only for good things for you. You know, I also am wearing a symbol. This is called the Shalom hand.
Oh, wow.
I got this back in 1982, which was right after the Egyptian peace accords with Israel, a couple years earlier. And the sculptures that had created this sculpture of the lion and the lamb laying together, mm-hmm, it was presented to Sadat by Prime Minister Begin. The same artist designed these, and they were selling them in a jewelry store, all of his things. And I bought it. And little did I realize that this was going to be the symbol of my life, was the Shalom hand between Jews and Christians.
Correct.
And so I just want you to know that we're with you. Many are very dedicated to supporting Israel, and they're listening to you today. And we just want to thank you for coming on and sharing your story and your heart, and we'll be praying for you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of Out of Zion with Susan Michael. Be sure to subscribe to Out of Zion now on Apple Podcasts, cpnshows.com, YouTube, or wherever you like to listen and learn. Out of Zion with Susan Michael is a production of ICEJ USA, all rights reserved.